What are your spiritual gifts? This is probably one of the most talked about but most misunderstood subjects in the New Testament. These gifts only came when the Holy Spirit was first introduced in his New Testament ministries in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. A spiritual gift is a God-given supernatural ability that he gives you after you've been born again. You know, we're born physically, and we're born with certain talents that give us abilities that we inherit from our parents and our ancestors through their genes. But there are spiritual gifts that God gives to those who've been born spiritually, and these are given to be part of your new spirit. Now, a spiritual gift, then, is something that gives you the ability to accomplish the calling that he has for you. It's very important to know this. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says, "And the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable." In other words, once you're given a spiritual gift, you're given that gift for life. Now, here's where it's very important for you to understand that a spiritual gift is an ability to do certain things, and I'll explain what they are later, but they do not give you the power to live a holy life. That is given you by another ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's very different from the gifts. A gift is given for life, and they are yours whether you're in fellowship with God or out of fellowship. They're more effective if you're in fellowship. But the filling of the Spirit is something you must claim moment by moment by faith. And you lose the filling of the Spirit when you knowingly step out of fellowship with God until you confess your sins and get back into fellowship with God. But a spiritual gift, then, is something that is going to give you an ability you didn't have before. Now, let me illustrate. Let's take the Apostle Peter. All during the Gospels, the only time Peter opened his mouth was to change feet. But in Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, there were many different ministries of the Spirit that were given instantly to these that were already believers. Today, when we're born again, we are given all the gifts at once. But then the Spirit had not come. So, all of a sudden, on the day of Pentecost, he's given the filling of the Spirit, he's given the gifts of the Spirit, he's given the indwelling of the Spirit. But he got this God-given ability. And suddenly, Peter stands up, and who is this man? I mean, all of a sudden, he speaks with a brilliance, unprepared, without any notes. He stands up and gives a perfect message to the religious leaders that was absolutely irrefutable. And he gives it logically and with the power of the Holy Spirit. And what happens? More than 3,000 people come to believe in Christ right there. He said these things with boldness. He had been afraid before. He said it without fear. He said it with great power. Now, in my own life, you know, I was born with stage fright. I tell you, I was always terrified to get in front of people and speak. But after I was born again, I gravitated toward wanting to teach. And the only problem was this terrible stage fright. Until I was asked to teach, and against all feelings that I had, I got up, stood, and started teaching. And everybody was amazed, and mostly me, that I spoke with a gift and an ability I never had before. And of course, that grew. I've spoken before millions of people now. But that is a spiritual gift I never earned, I never deserved. I didn't seek. It just was there. Now, as the scripture, Romans 11, 29 says, the gifts and calling of God. Notice, the gifts and calling, you get spiritual abilities in these gifts that equip you for what God calls you personally to do in a ministry. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 says, every person is given at least one gift. If you want to know what God's will for your life is, first find out what your gift is. Now, how do you find them? Well, just take the natural talents that we're born with physically. You know, if you're an artist, as you simply grow and are healthy, and you keep growing and studying, you'll gravitate toward what your talent is, and it'll become clear. In the same way, in your spiritual life, as you seek and grow in the Lord, and you seek to understand what God's Word says, you will gravitate toward the special ability that God has given you. Now let me read something. The great chapters on spiritual gifts is 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. But let me read something else that's very important that is sovereignly given. As a matter of fact, the three sovereign appointments that God gives each one of us are spelled out here. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the one and same Spirit. In other words, there are varieties of spiritual gifts, but there's only one that gives them, and that is the Holy Spirit. Then it says, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. Now, who's this? This is the second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as you're given gifts by the Holy Spirit, it's the Lord who shows where those gifts are going to be used in a ministry. Jesus said in John 15:16, you did not choose me, I chose you, and I ordained you, or I called you and gifted you, that you might bear much fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You see, there are different ministries, even for those who have the same gift. And now, there's another sovereign choice that God makes. And that is, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Now, who is this? God the Father. There are varieties of how effect means how effective your gift works in you. Now, let me illustrate. How many times when I was in seminary did I find young men who said, I'm going to be the next Billy Graham? And they just guaranteed they wouldn't be. Because everybody wanted to have Billy Graham's mantle when he went on. They wanted to take his place. And I heard many say, I'm going to claim his mantle. Well, you see, God gave Billy Graham the gift of evangelism. And the Lord Jesus determined the ministry that evangelism would be used in, and that's cities. He was given the gift of bringing people to Christ, and the place of ministry was going to be in cities. And God the Father determined how effective it would be. Well, we don't know of anyone on this planet that has been more effective than Billy Graham. Now, how many have sought to have that gift, that ministry, and that effectiveness? Many. But you see, I don't care. Billy Graham didn't get those appointments because he was holier than somebody else, or because he was more learned in the scripture, or because he was more faithful. I know a lot of evangelists who have won people to Christ and other kinds of ministries with it. And they were just as holy. They knew the scripture, some of them better than Billy Graham. And yet they were never as effective. You see, God determines the spiritual gifts you're going to get. I don't care how you seek them. God determines. And I don't care how holy or how spiritual or how theologically knowledgeable you are. the ministry that God puts you in is where that gift is going to be most effective. And God even determines the degree of effectiveness. Now, why would he do that? It's because you don't have to compete with somebody else. I don't have to compete with Billy Graham and say, well, I'm not spiritual unless I win as many as he did to Christ. No, God wants us to be faithful to use the ability, the gift he's given us. He wants us to move into the ministry that he chose for us. And he wants us to depend upon the Lord for the degree of effectiveness. If we're just faithful to him, that will come out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says this. It speaks about many different kinds of gifts. But the one and same Spirit works all these things. Now listen, distributing personally, distributing to each one individually, just as who wills? Just as you will? No, it says, just as he wills. You see, the Holy Spirit determines who gets what gift. Not everyone gets the same gift, but the Holy Spirit determines which gift you get individually with you. And he determines by his own sovereign will the choice. So no one earns or deserves the spiritual gifts he gets. But God gives them for the good of the whole church. Wherever you find the gifts mentioned, there's much said about having the right mental attitude about the gifts you're given. First of all, to realize the gifts are not given to make you appear more important and as a means of getting personal gain. The gifts are given to build the church and to supply the church with the things that it needs to grow and be effective. Now, it's also important to realize that this keeps us from being proud. It keeps us from thinking, well, I've got this gift and this other has a lesser gift, and somehow think that that's because you did something. No, the spiritual gifts are given on the basis of grace alone. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about the effectiveness of how these are given. In Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 5, it says, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. In Romans 12, verse 6, and since we have gifts, the spiritual gifts, that differ according to the grace given to us. And you see, gifts are given on the basis of grace, and that means you can't earn them or deserve them. You can't seek them. They're given sovereignly by the decision of the Holy Spirit. And so each gift, it says, is given according to a measure of grace that is given to each one. And continuing in verse 6, it says, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. So the gift of prophecy is primarily forth-telling now. Back before the New Testament was completed, there was a lot of foretelling. But now, mostly, the gift of prophet is one forth-telling. But I'll get into that more later. But there's a measure of faith given to each one that enables the person who has the gift to use it up to the degree of effectiveness God determined it would be. Now, let me give you an illustration. I gave you the illustration of Billy Graham and the gift of evangelism. The gift actually determines where your ministry will be because it prepares you and it gives you the ability for that particular ministry. Now, after the Apostle Paul taught on that concept, he names a few of the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, or literally dialects in the Greek. The idea is a real language, a language and a dialect is given by the Spirit. It's a real thing. It's not just some gibberish on the tongue. To another gift of interpretation of dialects or languages. Now, in verse 11, it sums it up. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. This is the important thing to realize. I don't care how much you seek a certain gift, you're not going to get it because you seek it. Because the Holy Spirit sovereignly distinguishes each person, the gift for each person he is individually giving. And he determines who gets what gift. It's in this context, and I'll talk about the meaning of these gifts later, but it's in this context that I want to make something very, very clear. Spiritual gifts are wonderful abilities that God gives, but they do not give you the power for living a godly, holy life. And the power that goes with making a ministry more effective. Now, how do I know that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 makes that clear, because there's something that God wants to be kept constantly before our minds, and that is not to get proud of what God does through the supernatural abilities he gives us, but to realize that that is given by grace. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. And God is just supernaturally using us with that gift. Now, let me show you the difference between a gift and the filling of the Spirit. And it's right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says this, if I speak with the tongues or the languages of men and angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, what's he talking about? The gift of speaking in a language you never learned. The gift of tongues, as it's called here, but it's the gift of a dialect you've never learned. Language dialect. He says, you can use that and speak with all the languages of men, and he uses hyperbole here, even to the language of angels. But if you do that, and you don't do it with love, you've become a clanging cymbal and a banging gong. Why? Now, what love is he talking about? This is agape. What is the first fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Love. So this means, and this is the kind of love that the filling of the Spirit produces. You see, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to give you power to live a godly life is the ministry of filling a person with the Spirit. Now, if a person's filled with anger, what does that mean? Well, it means anger has taken over his person and his actions for a period of time. So what does it mean if a person fills a person like the Holy Spirit fills a person? That means that the Holy Spirit takes over your life when you've confessed all your known sins and you moment by moment are depending upon the Holy Spirit. Then he fills you in the sense that he gives you his power and his guidance and his teaching at that moment. If we have gifts and we exercise them to the fullest and yet we don't have the filling of the Spirit, we're nothing. Now listen to what else is said here. If I have the gift of prophecy, so that I know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains. So what's he talking about? The gift of knowing mysteries, the gift of prophecy, the gift of faith. There's a gift of faith that is beyond the normal faith that we develop as a believer. If we have the gift of faith and use it to where we move mountains with it, and yet we don't have love, which is the first fruit of being filled with the Spirit, we're empty. We're useless. Because you see, the gifts or abilities that we get for life And we can use them even when we're out of fellowship. And I've known plenty of them that get up before large crowds that at that time were not full of the Spirit. They use the gift, although you can tell it's not as powerful as it would be if he were filled with the Spirit. But if a person's using the gift for his own aggrandizement or for his own purposes, he's not filled with the Spirit. And that's something that although people are going to be affected by it, the one who's doing it is going to get disciplined. Now, going on, it says here, and if I give all my possessions, what's this? The gift of giving. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and even if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. These are dramatic things. Now, notice you can have the gift of speaking in tongues and not be filled with the Spirit, because one doesn't have anything to do with the other. And it says here in verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag, and is not arrogant. God gives each one of us a supernatural ability. Some of us get many of them. But the first thing he wants us to know is, don't be deceived into using that gift, that supernatural ability, for your own profit or for your own ego. But use it realizing that it's given according to the measure of grace that God gave you. It's given according to the measure of faith that God gave you. So don't be trying to outdo somebody else. Or if you do something spectacular, don't think that makes you better than another brother or sister who may have the same gift and it's not nearly as effective. All of that is determined by the ones who gave it. The Holy Spirit gave you the supernatural ability. The Lord Jesus Christ gave you the special ministry where it'll be most effective in using it. And God the Father determined the maximum lengths of how effective it will be. Now, these are very important principles so that God can use you in a mighty way once you discover your spiritual gifts. Once he can trust you with a great spiritual ability in a gift, he'll move you into some things that are really going to bless you and going to be extremely effective in building up the church. And I want to drive home one essential thing, and that is what I've said before. The filling of the Spirit is what gives people power to live a holy life. This is a different ministry. This is a ministry where we have to be, by choice, depending moment by moment upon the Holy Spirit to empower us, to guide us, to teach us. And we call that the filling of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. But spiritual gifts are something else. They're God-given abilities to perform the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ has determined to use that ability in. Now, there was obvious confusion in the Corinthian church, and that's what was being corrected here in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. So at the latter part of chapter 12, this is what it says. Now you are Christ's body, and all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Now, he makes a very, very important point at the end of this chapter by asking questions. First, all are not apostles, are they? Well, I think we'd all agree on that. We're not all apostles. All are not prophets, are they? Obviously not. All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? Now, these questions are designed to have a negative answer. All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? Now, here's where we probably have some people say, wait a minute, everybody's got to speak in tongues or you can't be full of the Spirit. Some even say you can't be saved without speaking in tongues. What does this say? It doesn't say all do not have the gift of tongues. It says all do not speak with tongues. Do they? No. Any more than you can be an apostle, everybody be apostles, or as he uses the illustration throughout this chapter, all are not noses, are they, in the body? All are not eyes, are they? All are not toes, are they? No. It'd be grotesque. And he says, all do not speak with tongues, do they? You see, I've never spoken in tongues, but I'll guarantee you, I know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know I'm saved. Now, this is what he was driving toward through the whole passage here to correct the abuse of the gift of tongues. Now, I thank God for those who can speak in a language they've never learned. It's a wonderful gift. But you're not supposed to use it in the church unless there is an occasion for it, and then only if there is an interpreter there. Otherwise, you use it privately. And when you speak to God in prayer, in your tongue, it will bless you. Because all spiritual gifts will bless you. But you have to follow the order that God gave. Now, one of the big problems that we run into is people fail to realize that the four Gospels and the book of Acts are primarily history. That is, they tell us what happened. If you want the meaning of what happened in those five books of history, you have to go to the epistles, because the epistles of the New Testament are the revelation from God that tell us the meaning of the history in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. And that's important to remember, because the gift of speaking in tongues was given at the giving of the Holy Spirit, both when the Jews were first brought into the new ministries of the New Testament ministry of the Spirit, then when the half-Jews, the Samaritans, were brought into the new ministries of the Spirit, and then last of all, those that were non-Jews and thus not covenant people from the Old Testament at all, when the Gentiles were brought in, they all spoke in tongues. That was a sign that was given by giving everyone that was in that initial bringing into the Holy Spirit's ministries of the New Covenant, the New Testament, when they were first brought in. But the norm is given in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 particularly. So don't let somebody tell you can't be filled with the Spirit unless you speak with the gift of tongues. All do not speak in tongues, do they? Take it from God. That's what he says. But the spiritual gifts are a wonderful thing. Every believer is going to have to know his gift, develop it, and use it in the church.